Patricia Camilleri, Director of the Communications and Alumni Relations Office here at the University of Malta. In this series called Research Matters, I shall be discussing the many research projects undertaken by the university's academics from all fields of study. I'm very pleased to have with me today in the studio on Research Matters, Dr. Suzanne Biskupov. Dr. Biskupov has received her university education initially here at the University of Malta, Faculty of Education, and then went on to do a master's in human ecology at the Mount St. Vincent University School of Graduate Studies in Nova Scotia in Canada, and then followed that up at the University of Birmingham School of Education with her PhD, and her thesis was entitled Socio-Ecological Factors Influencing Food Choices and Behaviours of Maltese Primary School Children. At the moment, she's coordinator of the M.Ed. Health and Family and Consumer Studies here at the University and a lecturer at the Faculty of Education and the Centre for Labour Studies. She's team leader for Dolceta, an EU project on consumer education, and in fact that's mainly what we're going to be speaking about today. A board member of the Society for Nutrition Education in the USA, member of the Scientific Expert Committee of the Mediterranean Diet Foundation's UNESCO bid on the Mediterranean diet as global intangible cultural heritage. I hope that we might have half a minute to talk about that because it sounds fascinating. Chairperson of the Home Economists in Action Malta and a registered public health nutritionist. Welcome to the programme, Dr. Biskupov.
Thank you for inviting me.
Well, this is certainly an area which I think is increasingly becoming popular and interesting and topical, the idea of how people should look after their home economics from many different angles. And I think that's one of the interesting things, looking at the material that you've given me to have a look at before this this chat, to see how wide the scope is, in fact, in your area now.
Yes, in fact, basically, you've mentioned the term home economics, which many people are familiar with here in Malta. Recently, up at university, we kind of changed that name to Nutrition, Family and Consumer Studies, in fact, to give this idea that, you know, home economics has various angles to it. So you're looking at aspects related to diet, food, and your food choices, and how they can affect you individually, but also keeping in mind how your food choices may also impact on others, you know, basically, you know, the local producers, but also producers, you know, further away, of course. And then the same thing when it comes to clothing, you know, choice of clothing, choice of personal care. It's important to look at, you know, choosing things which are obviously going to meet your needs or your family needs if you're looking at a household, but at the same time keeping aware of, okay, what are my choices? How are they impacting the natural environment? How are they impacting the laborers, you know, where in the countries where these items are produced? And it goes on for things related to, you know, household materials, to household appliances. It's always a matter of, fine, meeting your needs, but also at the same time trying to safeguard the natural environment and also being conscious of your own actions and their impact further afield, if you want to say that. I think that's the whole idea also behind, you know, the big move when it comes to education for sustainable consumption and production. And that is something which has been embedded in home economics, and now as we're calling it nutrition, family and consumer studies, for many years. But it never really emerged so strongly as it is emerging now.
Yes, because I suppose you're having to marry these various ideas, that it should be sustainable for your own family in the sense of financially sustainable. So looking at things and making sure that you can afford them long term. And then also thinking, as people are, I think nowadays, thinking more about what they buy, whether it affects people, I don't know, children working in cotton,
yes,
industry in India or
Sri Lanka,
or exactly,
yes. Mm-hmm.
And really thinking hard about what you actually do. I know that, as we mentioned before, you've been working specifically recently on this very interesting EU project, Dolceta. Perhaps you could tell us a little bit about how it was set up, how you got involved?
Yes, fine. Well, in fact, Dolcetto started a couple of years back. It actually had started with... the work was done with the local consumer and competition division. The EU project management had contacted them and told them, listen, we want to start online education for adults. And the consumer competition division were very interested in this. And the initial phase of the project had involved two modules, which were looking, in fact, you know, the modules had been looking at consumer rights initially. That was the first module, where basically, as the name implies, it tried to educate consumers, adult consumers, as to what were the consumer rights locally, but also at an EU level. And then there was a second module which focused on financial services. So the whole idea was to put up material online which adults could access. It was locally contextualized so that, you know, the information would be pertinent to our local systems and our local culture and services. And really, that was the initiation of it. Now, when it there was also then a third module, in fact, dealing with consumer safety. Again, there were many laws and regulations being passed at the, you know, a couple of years ago, focusing on product safety, cosmetics, even things like electric products, etc. And so these were the first three modules. Now, initially we, when I'm saying we, it is Home Economists in Action. Home Economists in Action is a local association for home economics graduates and teachers. And at a point we were approached by the Consumer and Competition Division. Obviously they had been sort of hearing about us through, you know, through the media and other places where we had, you know, been involved, etc. And they said, listen, the next module which is in line for Dolcetto is actually a teacher's corner, where this time they want to sort of deviate a little bit from the general adult population and produce materials which can be used by teachers in the classroom, again, focusing on consumer education. So Home Economists in Action had got involved in that sense, that we actually, as teachers, as home economics teachers, prepared materials which teachers could use in their classrooms. Now, when we're saying teachers, it wasn't just home economics teachers. The materials which we prepared, which focused on consumer responsibility, on, health and safety consumption, on again financial education, these were materials which could be used by home economics teachers, by personal and social development teachers, by business studies teachers, even we also prepared materials suitable for primary school as well. And also, keeping in mind the original intent of Dolcetto, we also produced materials which could be used in adult education settings. So these could be taken up by, for example, local councils. Nowadays, many local councils are organizing, different activities. And so we thought we must prepare materials as well, which a local council could say, okay, let's do a series of three talks about this topic, for example, fair trade or, you know, organic farming. So Dolcetto has a huge scope. When we're talking about consumer education, you know, I mean, it's never ending, really. Any aspect of your everyday life has obviously a consumption angle to it. Whether you're eating, drinking, driving, there's always a consumption angle. So you could, you know, you take up any topic which you wanted and expand on it.
People who were involved, I mean, obviously you've mentioned your group, but were there other partners involved in the project itself?
Well, yes, of course. The project is... it's a European project, and there are 28 countries involved. So basically what I've been saying happened in Malta happened in another 27 countries around Europe. What is interesting about Dolcetto is that, you know, when you go to the website, which is very easy, it's just dolcetto.eu, so www.dolcetto.eu. When you go there, you know, the front page, the home page, is this huge map of Europe with, you know, the different countries and their flags, and you just literally click on the name of the country or the flag, and you'll go to a website, and the websites are replicas of each other, if you want to say that. So it's every website is obviously using the national language, What is interesting is that, as you can imagine, since the whole project is trying to sort of, it's standardized, so you have the same modules and the same topics being tackled, just obviously they're contextualized, as we're saying, to meet the sort of situation in the different countries. Before every module starts, there'll be a huge meeting where all the 27 countries come together, the various teams from the different countries, and we kind of discuss their sort of the final details as to what is really pertinent and important for, you know, consumers to know within the different topics which will be tackled.
We were looking at common denominators.
That's it, common denominators. So there's always a set of common denominators, but then obviously there'll be parts which one country will emphasize more than others. For example, if you're looking at transport, obviously if you're looking at sustainability and transport in Malta, trains are not really such a huge issue. We just mentioned them as something which you can use when you go abroad. But obviously in other countries, it's their everyday mode of transport for many people. So, there will be these little differences here and there. But when it comes to sort of sustainable principles and consumption rights and responsibilities, nowadays you can say that, they're really European-wide when it comes to many of these things.
And when you were working out the methodologies, working out these modules, did you have this group here? I mean, how did you go about it?
Well, that's true. Initially, what happens, because in a sense I skipped a step there, before the national teams meet, a group of experts is brought together by the project management, which is based in Brussels and in Spain, in fact. The group of experts will come together. So, for example, one of the modules which we're basically just finalizing now and should go online within a week or so is the whole module on sustainable consumption. It's module 5. And experts in the area of food, experts in the area of housing, experts in the area of transport, experts in the area of even personal care and clothing, etc., were brought together by the management team, and they do the initial work in the sense that they, go through the, have various discussions and go through sort of the latest research and say, what are the issues which we need to bring to the consumer? Trying to take the science and the research and presenting it and packaging it in such a way that it can be presented as little modules, little, sets of topics, which the ordinary layperson would be interested to delve into deeper and see what applies to their everyday life. So the experts, meet a couple of times, do their homework and come up with the package of topics for that particular module. And then, as we said, the national teams come together, they look at this sort of draft package, they say, yes, we agree with this, or maybe we need to add a bit more here based on our own experience from our own countries. And then the final sort of package of topics for a particular module is settled. Module is settled, and the teams go off and do their homework and start producing the actual text and the actual maybe learning materials if it's a module which also contains materials for teachers. Because, the different modules have different setups. Some are really just text, visuals, information for the ordinary person, for them to just log in and look up a topic, or sometimes the module will have both information for the layperson and lesson plans and teaching and learning materials which teachers can use.
In fact, before we go down that road, because it's interesting to see how the teachers get involved in this, it's quite a political issue, really, isn't it? There are many of the subjects which we've mentioned already during this discussion, which are quite tough questions to deal with and not easy to find sort of common ground very often. Did you find that a problem at any level?
Well, that's interesting you say that. When it comes to everyday living practices, when you really sort of start discussing this with, other, colleagues from around Europe, you'll find that, our everyday living practices have lots of similarities. The food you choose, even things what are available in supermarkets now, what are available in shops when it comes to clothing and personal care issues. Many things, when it comes to the criteria which you're going to use to select, are really quite common. Obviously, what will be different are things like, as we were saying earlier, transportation issues and maybe housing, materials used for building, for example. Obviously, in Malta, we're looking at maybe mainly stone, though nowadays, even things like, sources of energy, very hot issue at the moment. You know, there'll be some things which are in common. You're looking at, you know, solar energy, but then other countries will actually use other sources of energy, which obviously we can't tap into locally. But
even the issue, for example, slow food versus fast food.
Yes, yes.
That's quite a hot issue, really.
Yes, that's true. You know, trying to source the local food, you know, really try to support your local economy. That's just from the economic aspect of sustainability. But then, of course, also the food miles aspect, as we call it, you know, sourcing locally so that you don't have all these huge transportation issues, use of fuel, use of energy to produce the fuel, and so on, and pollution, obviously, caused by the transportation. So if you source your food locally, obviously you're really safeguarding the natural environment as well, apart from supporting your local economy. And at the same time, bringing in a sense of, you want to say that, patriotism, you know, really supporting, you know, our country, and maybe even, you know, I mean, there's lots of interesting movements going on even here locally, like reviving the olive oil industry, etc. So, you know, it's got many benefits all around. And these are things which we would mention, for example, in the module on sustainable consumption. You know, when you're talking about sustainability, you're looking at sort of the economic aspect, you're looking at the environmental aspect, and you're also looking at the social aspect. So if, for example, we're looking at clothing, so you have the economic aspect, obviously, you know, choosing your clothes in a sense, obviously, within your budget, but at the same time, you know, keeping in mind, you know, you mentioned fast food. Now there's also a new term coined, which is fast fashion, which is something where basically people change their wardrobe every year. So, you know, we're trying to educate, fine, you know, it's nice to have something which is fashionable, but sort of have like a core set of clothing which can last a few years, and then you just sort of perk up and give a bit of pizzazz with the accessories you use, the more fashionable accessories. But that's, you know, something like, so it's the economic aspect. You don't need to change your full wardrobe every year, if you know what I mean. And then from the, you know, from the social aspect is, as you mentioned earlier, looking at where your clothing is coming from. Is it coming from countries where they do safeguard the laborers' rights? Is child labor involved? You know, we even have like fair trade cotton nowadays. You know, we think of fair trade when it comes to food many times, but you have fair trade cotton, where cotton was grown in a sustainable manner, where, you know, the land where it was grown was not impacted negatively from a natural perspective, but also that, you know, the laborers' rights, as we're saying, were safeguarded, that money went back into the local community there to help develop their community, build schools, have proper health services. So there's all of these different things. And it just, you know, when you start talking about these things, as you said, it's just never ending.
Before, we were saying that you were using local councils and trying to get them involved and NGOs. But this is an online venture, really. So
yes.
you were sort of looking to get people to access the web with a certain with the younger generation. I suppose that's quite easy, but with the older generation, not so easy. So how did you get over the digital divide on this occasion?
Well, it's interesting. First of all, now we're basically, because I suppose I didn't really explain this, Dolcetta has produced, as I said, we should go online with module number 7 sometime in spring. So there's various modules which have been produced, and at the end of module 4, which was when it was published last year, put online last year, we actually had a local conference. And at the local conference, which was basically a conference to disseminate, we invited not only teachers, because we, you know, had lots of materials which teachers could use, but we invited local NGOs, we invited local council representatives, we invited representatives from trade unions, in fact, because even trade unions have an education angle as well. You know, many of them are doing courses, etc. And we told them all about Dolcetta, and we told them, you have to also help us to promote it with, you know, your members, etc. And they were very well willing to do so. So, you know, we tried to reach people sort of through these different routes. Mm-hmm. There was also a fair which was held on World Consumer Day, 21st of March. And there, excuse me, I think it was 15th of March. I don't know if it was actually held on the day. And there again, I mean, this was a public, you know, it was a public fair. And we had a stand, a Dolcetta stand, and many, many people came along. We were showing them, you know, online what was there, and many adults were interested. And it's interesting nowadays, you know, you mentioned how do you sort of overcome this digital divide? Well, you kind of use the children because that's how you kind of reach the parents many times. You give the children tasks to do at home, and they go, you know, home, say, mom, dad, or whoever's looking after them, I need to do this project, help me, kind of thing. And there, it's a sort of indirect way of getting the adults to access the website. Mm. And then, you know, they just sort of say, oh, okay, this looks interesting. Let me kind of, you know, click here and click there. And what's interesting about the websites is that obviously apart from having kind of the topics on the homepage, etc., there's a search facility. So even if you just, let's say, in the sustainable consumption module, if you just type in like organic farming or you type in things like electricity, you know, just take you to whatever places on that particular module where this topic is mentioned, and you'll get all kinds of, you know, information and ideas, and also links to other websites. We have, you know, part of it is links to other websites, local maybe ministries or local NGOs, or even materials which are available to the public for free to download online. And nowadays, there's lots of material available. So we try to not only give information, but also, you know, provide sort of further links where they can access more details.
The teachers you were mentioning before, they were sort of specifically targeted through this project. How did you go about that?
Okay, fine. Well, Module 4, which was actually called Teacher's Corner, literally was developing lesson plans, which, you know, downloadable lesson plans, ready to go kind of thing, with the complementary resource material. So you'd be looking like at worksheets, PowerPoints, quizzes, even online interactive quizzes. This is an important element of all of the Dolcetta modules. The project management wanted to have to make this website interactive, dynamic, alive. So you have lots and lots of quizzes where, again, I don't just take any topic, for example, organic farming. And sort of you go to the quizzes section and you see the topics, you click on organic farming, and you get an interactive quiz like a true or false or fill in or multiple choice, or even sometimes personality, sort of your own behavior. And then, you know, you just go through the quiz and you'll get your score. If it's a personality kind of test thing, it'll tell you, okay, you're on the right track, or you need to pull up your socks a little bit, you know, or, whoa, I think you need to brush up a little bit here. Go to the website, to these sections, and this will help you to get going. Dolcetta, even through the teacher's corner, it tries to give practical, easy, simple tips. So you can, you know, change, in a sense, your behaviors to be more sustainable, to, you know, make sure you're doing things as a responsible consumer kind of thing, to help you, as, you know, we said earlier, manage your budget better, you know, and meet your needs in a sustainable way, whilst also caring for the environment and safeguarding others' rights and so on. The teachers, you know, they have a wealth of material. Now, that's Module 4, but the more recent modules, such as Module 5, which is sustainable consumption, has a whole section as well with lesson plans and resources for teachers. So that will go online, as we said, in the next few weeks. And then Module 7, which is financial literacy, is again literally targeting teachers. It's a whole set of fact sheets as background information for teachers, things like borrowing, spending, investing, insurances, types of loans, things like, you know, what is APR, you know, what's your sort of credit profile. So the teachers have background information for them, and this actual module was done in collaboration with the Malta Financial Services Authority. So it was Home Economists in Action and Malta Financial Services Authority. And then there are lesson plans, again, targeting primary school children, secondary school children, and older youth or even adults, all about these topics. And, you know, the teachers really have a nice package because they have their lesson plan and they have the resource material.
Sounds perfect.
Yes, I suppose,
sure,
in a sense.
Interested in that if I were a teacher. And how would that fit in with the national curriculum?
Excellent question, in fact. That was a key criterion, if you want to say that. Whatever we produce, we make sure that it can easily fit within the syllabi of different subjects. So, if you're looking either at the sustainable consumption module, or the, you know, earlier module 4 on Teacher's Corner, or the financial literacy module, we would look at the syllabi for, let's say, home economics, for personal and social development, for business studies, for even social studies, because obviously consumer education is an important element there. And we would try to choose topics which we'd say, okay, you know, like a home economics teacher, you know, they have a lesson on methods of payment. Let's develop a lesson around that. Or if you're looking at social studies, there might be a section on using local social services as a responsible citizen. So let's develop a lesson around that, being a responsible citizen, using social services responsibly. And, you know, we would do that. We would try to make sure that the topics can easily be latched on to a topic within the current syllabus from the different areas. So when we had, in fact, the conference, we invited teachers from all these areas to come along. So they said, wow, you know, as you said, I have something ready-made here. I can just literally lift it, download it, you know, from the website and use it in the classroom. And, you know, it's contextualized. It suits the local context, because oftentimes, you know, much of the material which we have in schools, you know, it will be books which have been printed abroad. I mean, we have things which are really, you know, being developed locally now, and that's excellent. But still, so for many school subjects, it's things which we import. So examples won't really be suitable for the local context. So that was one key issue with regards to Dolce Vita, make things suitable for the local context.
Have a homegrown sort of approach. Well, in the very short time that we have left, I know that you would have liked to have said a word about the consumer citizen network.
Okay, fine. Now, in, you know, wearing my other hat as a lecturer in nutrition, family and consumer studies in our unit up here, the Faculty of Education, we've been involved for a few years, myself and my colleague, Dr. Karen Mouliette, in this consumer citizenship network, which is, again, a huge European project. One of the products is a whole set of guidelines on integrating consumer citizenship concepts at tertiary level, for example. And then, you know, one other just very recent booklet, which is available also online, if you just Google Consumer Citizenship Network, you'll access the site, is something very simple, a day in the life of a child and a day in the life of a teenager, and you have sort of 7 topics, one for every day, and a teacher can go to this little booklet, download a ready-made lesson plan, again with its resources, and use it in the classroom.
Well, thank you very, very much, Dr. Suzanne Piscopo, for coming to talk to us about your the work that you're doing here at the university. Thank you.